We have a very, very, very fun episode today. Some big announcements, a lot to get into. We're going to preview a little bit about this upcoming draft class, some news about what's going on with No Ceilings. But Rucker was also at Damian Lillard's Formula Zero camp this last week, and I want to hear all about it. Let's party. Welcome to another episode of the No Ceilings Podcast. I'm Tyler Metcalf, joined as always by Tyler Rucker. Rucker, how are we doing?
We're back, baby. I'm doing great, Metcalf. Changing up a little bit on that style right there. I forgot to share with you. I finally figured out my internet situation.
Oh, that's so
that's great. Yeah. Apparently they had given me we had a modem box that was about 10 years old.
We're
paying for high speed internet. So that's always fun. I joked that we had a Ferrari engine and a Honda Civic. So yeah, I should be good. Hopefully not cutting out. But how are you doing, sir?
I can't wait for your internet to cut out in like 10 minutes. It's going to be fantastic.
It's already lagging on my side too. So this is actually like shooting me in the foot. So I hope hopefully it looks better for you guys.
I am fantastic. You know, we took a little week off there. I disappeared to a mountain and was out of cell service, which was incredible, for almost a little over a week. Felt weird, and then came back to a whole bunch of nonsense. But yeah, and I'm good. It's always draft season, and you while I was running away to gorgeous mountains of Colorado, you were busy getting to work.
Yeah. Some of us have to work for almost a living.
I know. I don't really do anything.
Big time of the year, because you either want to rest or you want to try to slowly start getting the itch. And I find that each year with No Ceilings, the itch starts to come sooner than I want. So yeah, this year it was a little nice trip to Formula Zero again. By the way, in the cold intro with you saying almost Formula One, I almost do it every single time talking about going to this camp. So, you know how it is. It's you look for anything to kind of get the gears going again in the basketball scouting grind, because, you know, I think people always say like, hey, you guys work so hard. And it's like, I wish you knew half of it, but it's a fun thing. And, Formula Zero never disappoints. Always puts gas back in the tank. So I'm ready to go now.
And I do want to hear all about it. But you know, couple elephants in the room that we have to address. As listeners, fans, viewers, subscribers may have seen, we're taking over the Locked On NBA Draft feed this year. So what does that mean? This feed, the No Ceilings feed, is still alive and well. Nothing here is changing. We're just giving you more. I promise we're not regurgitating info. Obviously, our individual opinions on players and evaluations and stuff is going to be the same, but we're going to mix up the formats. We're going to mix up the style. We're not going to just do one scouting report here and then immediately upload the exact same thing on a different feed or vice versa. I promise that will not be the case. This is just more. So if you're diehard, we love you here. Please stay. We're still going to be doing this all year. We're still going to be having fun here, but also go check out the Lockdown feed, where we'll also be doing more reactionary stuff, a little more short form stuff. Rucker and I did a 2026 kind of big preview over there. Maxwell and Nathan are teaming up this year on one of the episodes, and they did a FIBA U19 or U18 recap this week. And then Albert and Corey did a Cam Boozer scouting report over there. So again, I promise it's not going to be the one for one information, just more different fun stuff.
Yeah. I think that's the biggest question we've gotten is a lot of people reached out and say, congratulations. Are you guys not doing the stream? And it's like, no, everyone take a deep breath. We're just digging deeper to work harder this year. We're very honored with Locked On giving us this opportunity. Everyone's really excited. lot of moving parts lately. We've had and why we've been quiet lately is because we have been talking to everyone on our team and making sure that everybody's on the right path and we're all in this together. And we realize it's hey, we work hard, now let's multiply it by five. So we're getting really excited for this year, but we wanted to do it right. And one thing we wanted to do was keep this feed alive, because you know, our good family at Odyssey too is treated us right, and we wanted to say, like, hey, we do this and do this, and we're pumped for this year. So if you were tired of me and Metcalf talking a lot, get ready for some more, because we're just going to keep doing it. But it's going to be the same format here. Me and Metcalf are going to keep doing our thing. We're going to have a lot of fun announcements, a couple new shows that I'm really pumped about. So it's going to be a fun year. It's just to the moon, Metcalf. That's what we say, to the moon. So did I miss anything?
I don't think so. And just a couple other housekeeping things over at NoCeilingsNBA.com. Maxwell's No Stone Unturned series has been going. It's awesome as always. I kicked off my new man on campus series, where I'm trying to highlight some of the top incoming freshmen. Darren Peterson went up last week, working on AJ DeBonsa now. Also have some scouting videos over on the No Ceilings YouTube. Go check those out. But also Rutgers Formula Zero written recap, awesome read, is up on the site as well. Let's just dive in. Let's get going. Because I want to hear all about it. I love in-person scouting. I know you had a ton of fun and a lot of insights from this camp last year. For those unaware, Damian Lillard puts on this camp in the Phoenix area, and it's some of the top college players, and along with some really highly talented and highly sought after high school players as well. So it's a fun mix of ages and talents and positions and skill sets that get exposed to this. And the first name that you had out there was incoming Baylor guard, one of the most fun players at Hoop Summit, Tunde Iesifu.
You know, it was pretty easy with Tunde's evaluation, because we've seen him a couple times, and like the first day I've watching everything, I'm just like, Tunde looks just the way I remember him. And I'm not saying that in a bad way, like he hasn't gotten any better. It was just more of like, still rocks, still is fun, yeah. Still very excited to see him at Baylor. So it was one of the easier ones. I thought, you know, if you haven't seen Tunde in person, he is a ball of muscle. I think Metcalf can back me up on that. He's very, very cut up. He looks like he's more of like fourth year in the NBA body definition than, you know, high schooler getting ready for his first year of college. I thought he looked even more cut up, Metcalf, like not bulk.
How?
It just like, no, yeah, it's not bulk. Like he didn't put on more, like five more pounds. He looks more just defined, which I was even like, how is this possible? He's on that Wolverine versus Deadpool diet. But Deadpool. Tunde, that might be my new nickname for now. Tunde, he still does his normal thing where it's like, hey, he's explosive getting downhill. He can shoot it a little bit. You're just like, hey, if this is consistent from deep, you're going to be excited. But I still think the playmaking's the part that's starting to come alive a little bit now, where it's like, he's not forcing it offensively. It looks like things were slowing down, which I was even like, that's good. You know, and there's also guys at those camps where you're just like, okay, let's get you to the big boys. Like, you look great here, but let's get you to college hoops and see what you got.
So was the playmaking, because that's something we didn't really see from him at McDonald's. We didn't really see from him at Hoop Summit, and not in a bad way, but it's like, all right, this guy's an off-ball guard, off-ball scorer, spark plug scorer, that kind of guy. So when you talk about the playmaking growing, in what capacity is that? Because everyone now in the league has to be able to dribble, pass, and shoot. If you can't create for others, not necessarily as a primary guy, but if you can't create for others as an off-ball guy, secondary guy, your ceiling and your ultimate impact just lessen. That's the state of the game currently. So when you talk about his playmaking improving, is that based on him turning more into a potential combo guard, on ball creator, or more just like a complimentary ball mover who keeps the offense flowing?
I think it's on ball. I think a little bit more on ball, because it was a lot of like transition reads too, where, you know, with those offensive machines that Tunde was in high school that also have the athleticism, I think you're always expecting them to be like, all right, I got the ball out in transition. How can I go get mine? Or who am I looking to poster? He looked like in, and I have to remind everyone or preface this, with the setup for Hoop Summit, a lot of their scrimmages are not Hoop Summit, Formula Zero. It's 4-on-4. So it's full court 4-on-4. So sometimes it's a little bit more open. I also think it's a little bit more challenging at times because it is 4-on-4 and you're playing full court to, I think they played to 21, twos and threes. So lengthy games. Mm-hmm. Usually a good mix of high school and college players on the team. So Tunde just looks like he had a clear, all right, let me try to set up things. And things just look slowing down for him, like creating off the bounce, looking for guys through a couple of pocket passes where I was like, okay, I didn't know you had that vision. Like, we didn't see that at Hoop Summit. So I just came away a little bit more intrigued with that part of the game. One thing that I did kind of talk about in my article at NoCeilingsNBA.com is I'm a little worried about the finishing.
Okay.
We might have VJ Edgecombe syndrome 2.0. And I think this is becoming a very common thing with powerful leapers.
Yeah.
You have to figure out how to finish without power. You have to figure out some finesse. He had some up and unders were gorgeous, but there's also some times where he just wants to overpower people when he's getting a little exhausted. And it's like, figure out, you got to figure out either like a floater or something, you know, to adjust. So I think that was just one note. I said, keep an eye on the finishing numbers this year.
So what was it, a lack of craft or an inability to deal with physicality? Cause I guess I didn't pick up on that at Hoop Summit necessarily, but is it anything that you're overly concerned about or just maybe is an off week?
Nothing I'm overly concerned about. I think it's more of a creativity and awareness of overpower people. I think because sometimes you had some beautiful up and unders where I'm like, whew, but it's like attacking, getting downhill. I think you have to have a little bit of creativity to react, contort your body, finish sometimes with, you know, finesse. So I think that was with Tunde sometimes. And maybe it was him getting tired in the middle of games and he's like, I'm just going to try to get to the foul line.
Sure.
But there's a couple of times I think he was just trying to go over people and people were like, no. And even though he's stronger, you just got to finish some, you got to figure out some ways because he's all of a sudden going to get to the next level in college. There's going to be some giants down there that are physically ready to try to match him. So that was just a little nitpick that I was like, oh, I'll keep an eye on this moving forward.
Okay, so more of just like an athlete learning how to adjust as he scales up in competition, and that gap between the worst guy on the floor and the best guy on the floor continues to narrow.
Yes.
Okay. Anything else?
You know what I'm saying? Like,
we
see it all the time. Yeah.
Especially, I feel like it's the most prominent with bigs, where it's like, oh, you're the only 7-footer on the court, and you have a 35-inch vertical, and the next biggest guy is 6'7" and 50 pounds lighter than you. And we see those guys put up bonkers high school numbers and then they get to college. It's like, oh, that tailed off a little bit because the other team has a guy like this. And then they get to the NBA and it tails off even more because it's like, oh, the other team has three guys like this.
Right.
But you know, now we're kind of see, like you mentioned VJ. Am I overly concerned about VJ as a scorer or finisher? Like throughout his career, probably not, but there is that adjustment period.
Absolutely. What else you got from me?
Anything else on Tunde or no?
No, it was one of the quickest, like Tunde looks, I you know, when you ever go to an event or you see someone and you're like, I've seen him a bunch, you're trying to find something else. That was me with the finishing at the end. I was like, well, okay, maybe I found something. Like, yeah. Keep an eye on this.
Yeah. I love that. Okay, let's move on to a guy who I'm totally unfamiliar with. Well, not totally unfamiliar, just haven't gotten around to doing a deep dive on yet. Matthew Abel, freshman guard going to NC State, 24th ranked recruit on ESPN. Why was he such a standout for you?
It was one that I feel like I had seen a little bit of buzz coming into Formula Zero. And I was like, all right, let's see what's, because I say all the time, I don't like to go to events sometimes and watch like a bunch of film of these guys before, because I want to go and just, what I really do, which is sicko, is I watch the first day, figure out who pops to me, and then I go home and watch film on them before I go back the second day, because I'm like, all right, these are the guys that got my attention. Let me see if there's something here or if they just had a good day. So Abel was one of those like late, like just kept lurking. Every time I was watching, I was like, okay, there's something. And first time I was really able to focus on him, no pun intended, it was a 3-point shooting drill. Kid can't miss. And at first I was like, well, his shot's beautiful. It's one of those like, oh, he can really get hot from deep. And then he has a little bit of like a body twist on his follow through that I was like, is that going to be a problem? And then I was like, well, they just rattled off 10 straight. So I don't think it's that much of an issue right now. So he was just like cooking, just couldn't miss. And I was like, all right, looks really, really good. Then they scrimmage and hits a couple from three. And then just has a drive where he throws down one of the nastiest like poster left-handed slams I've ever seen. And like after that, it felt like he was Bane that got like injected with the venom, and he was just all over the place. And I was like, oh my gosh, we're really cooking it. So little thin, but good frame, good size. At first I was like, in my notes, I was like, okay, maybe a floor spacing that you hope develops defensively. Mm-hmm. And then the game just kept going on. And after he had that dunk, I was like, now we got life. Cause he was like moving, he was barking at, he was playing on adrenaline. I was like, now there's some nastiness to him. So it was one of those, you know, when you find a guy that you're like, maybe this is the one that rises up some boards to start the year, because he's shooting 48, 43 to start the year. I was like, maybe Matthew's one of those I need to keep an eye on. So to start my evaluation, I was like, on the ball juice. Once he had that dunk, I was like, there's on the ball juice, because he just went down. So I'm intrigued. Want to watch more. That's one that I went home and I was like, I need to go watch way more, because there's something here, whether it's a one and done or a big time sophomore guy. I was like, there could potentially be something here.
And that's going to be fascinating to see what type of role he has, because and NC State could be a lot of fun this year. They have a lot of fun names, obviously Will Wade's first year, but they also have a bunch of returners and transfers, and Terrence Arsenault, Kadir Copeland, Trey Holloman, Paul McNeil, Van Allen Lubin. Like they've got some real serious talent. And if he's able to stretch the floor significantly with the added eyes, with some of that returning talent, do you think there's a real chance that he could end up being a one and done type guy, or a big time, you know, or someone who kind of makes a name for himself, maybe tails off at the end of the year and then develops a ton physically over the summer and comes out as one of the top sophomores?
Maybe potentially. I lean towards sophomore. Here's my thing with the 26 class, and I know me and you will do a big, big episode where we'll word vomit for way too long for the no ceilings feed. But I'm trying to find someone to jump up, because with the 26 class, I get worried that there's going to be a drop with the freshmen at one point, and then the returners are really going to pop.
Yeah.
So every year I'm trying to find that one that just surprises us. I'm trying to find the Bub Carrington that's just all of a sudden like, hey, maybe they make some noise because they're a little bit lower in the consensus. So I have an open mind right now, because just my initial deep dive of this class, I'm like, we could have some freshmen that are not ready, that like maybe there's returners going sooner than we thought. Jaden Ivey, when he climbed up the boards that one year, we see it every year where there are Keegan Murray, guys that could climb up in a hurry. So I just think Abel, I'm open-minded now. So like when I watched Abel, I was like, maybe this is a little Jet Howard-ish, but when you can shoot and you've got some athleticism, you got a shot. It's just how quickly are things going to fall into place. I feel like my cop-out's always, oh, maybe he's a sophomore guy, because I'm just like, well, it's safe. But there's some stuff there that you can really shoot it. I just want to see how it transitions early on. So I don't know. I'm going to cop out and say both.
Let's pivot to a guy who could be making that sophomore year leap. Really intriguing freshman, guard wing from San Francisco, Tyrone Riley IV, got off to an insanely hot start last year, tailed off towards the end, but, you know, freshman, no one expected him to be a one and done, but what he showed as a freshman, now with a full summer at San Francisco, going to camps like this, one of the sneaky, highly, you know, anticipated sophomores in this class, or at least in the country this year. What were your big picture takeaways with Riley?
Why is he so sneaky too, right? Like you, I
just
we can talk about Riley because you text. Well, I text. Yeah,
San Francisco. Excuse me.
I texted you last year. I feel like I asked you about something. You're like, well, Riley, check out Riley. Yeah. And it's just always amazing how, well, if you go to a smaller school, people are going to freak out. I'm pumped about him. We've talked to a couple of scouts. I talked to one, what was it, months ago? I think I talked to one like a week after the draft. It was like, who do you like in next year's class? And I was like, how dare you ask me that question right now? I just got through. And I think I was like, I think Riley's my guy. And he was like, yes. Like he was so pumped up. And I'm really excited that you've heard some good things. What was he at? USA camp. I think everyone was praising about him. So seeing him in person, I was very, very like pumped up, like as much mm-hmm. as I was pumped to see Tunde. I'm still trying to figure out why he didn't play in scrimmages, which was a bummer, but sometimes that's pretty common there because guys are just like, hey, I'm a little banged up. I don't want to risk this. The season is right. So close. Like, I feel like one time I saw him like kind of like pointing at something on his knee. I'm not a doctor. I'm not, you know, a mouth reader. So maybe that was it. He did do a lot of shooting drills and stuff. Thought it looks good. I thought his frame was much better in person than I thought it was going to be. Some broad shoulders, some good muscle on the upper body. So good looking stroke, Metcalf. I feel like that's the leap guy. I really do feel like it right now. I think that's the leap guy because he's got good size. He's got a good frame that looks like he could also put on more. Vocal, even though he wasn't playing, he's vocal, he's talking to guys, you know, so a lot of stuff to check the boxes. And I feel like a lot of things that we've heard behind the scenes are checking the boxes too.
Yeah, it's always frustrating with guys like that because you want to see how the on-ball stuff grew over the summer, how the handle grew, how the decision-making, the passing, the on-ball scoring grew. Because I don't really have any concerns about him as like a spot-up shooter, but what else is there? I know there's other stuff, like we got flashes of other stuff, but it's like, how consistent is that being implemented? How much more polish is there? So hopefully he's healthy soon. And it, you know, from the sounds of it, it doesn't sound like it was anything major or serious or anything like that. But even just the fact that he's developed a lot physically and gotten stronger and looks a little bigger, I think is really, really encouraging.
You know, I think he was listed around like 6'6", 180 last year. And like, I was like looking at him, I was like, hey, 180 with that upper body. Like he's got pythons for arms. And so he either put on some good weight or it's all in the upper body. So I just thought he looked stocky. He looked closer to like 190, 195 to me, okay, at least. Now we'll see if those numbers are right. But I definitely think, you know, for people that are starting to slowly get the itch like us and slowly get educated on this, like he was in the portal. He was one of the top targets for a lot of teams. Like people were trying to get him. And then he went back and said, I'm going to stay loyal to San Francisco. And everyone's like, yeah, that's awesome. So it's not like he isn't, you know, this big prospect because he's going to San Francisco, like shout out Dons. He can play. Like Tyrone Riley could play. It's just, it's cool to see guys stay home. It's cool to, you know, stay with the original school. So I'm pumped to see him this year. I watched a couple of San Francisco games last year. And I was like, man, this Riley kid's nice. And mm-hmm. I feel like I texted you and you're like, oh, yeah. So the one guy I was probably the most excited to go see at the whole entire event, and he didn't play. So that was a fun walk back to scouting. I was like, yep, got to remember that happens a lot. So
red flag. Not just. doesn't have that dog. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Obviously, we're joking. Another freshman coming in. guard going to Villanova, decommitted from Kentucky earlier this year. Caden Lewis, second year at, right, just his second year, or at least his second year,
yes,
at the Formula Zero camp, listed at 6'2", 180, ESPN's 32nd ranked high school recruit. What were you most excited about with Lewis's game?
I just have to have it a side note. It just feels so great to be talking basketball with you. It really does feel weird when we don't talk like for a while on the pod. I'm like, oh gosh, like I got to get some stability back. Caden's going to be really tough for me, Metcalf. It's going to be a challenging one. I don't know what to put of like a time frame. I don't think he's a one and done. I think he could be a 2 or 3 year guy. Now, this is saying this, but like, I love watching him play.
Mm-hmm.
He's feisty. He's what you want on a floor general. He makes a couple plays that you're just like, dang, that's nice. That was impressive. Shot. Shot needs to be consistent. Like, it's weird because it looks solid. Is it a mechanic thing?
Okay.
I don't. Maybe.
Is it a strength thing?
I think it could be a strength thing. It's one of those.
His measurements aren't overwhelming. I mean, 6'2", 180 on a team site is, which tend to be favorable. You know, I don't know. I didn't see him in person, but how favorable are those numbers, which are already kind of small?
He's feisty. He plays really good. He plays tough. He can take over some games on both sides of the ball. My problem is, and I mean this in the best possible way, I don't know if this is like a, hey, actually, you might be a TJ McConnell, Peyton Pritchard. We'll see you in 3 or 4 years. But you're going to a good school, work on your game, like just be patient. Maybe he's a one and done that all of a sudden goes 23rd and I look like an idiot right now. It's just, I was like, okay. I went home and saw 6'2", 180 when I was writing the article and I was like, I don't know about 6'2". So maybe, but he plays, he's really fun to watch because he plays competitive as heck.
Yeah.
It's tough. If the outside shot comes along consistently, I'm probably like, hey, I'm excited about maybe as an early change of pace guy because there's just some really good feel stuff, but it just seemed like maybe it was a bad day for me when I saw, but like I was sitting front row for a 3-point drill where like they're going all the way around. And I was just like, and it looks good, but he is ice cold right now. And then they went and played the scrimmages. And I was like, it looks good, but he is ice cold right now. So it's just one of those where like crafty in between game, got some finesse when it comes to finishing, some quick hands defensively. And there's some good playmaking. I'm just like, is that going to transition up because of your frame, or are we just looking at a really solid college point guard, which I hate to say, there's a lot of them. It doesn't mean that they're one and done draft picks, and there's a lot of good college point guards. Yeah.
But not a bad way to make a living anymore.
Exactly. I don't know. I mean, that's where I was just like, hey, I don't have an answer right now. This is going to be a wait and see one for me.
So with the playmaking, you mentioned he's a floor general. I always delineate between the two of being a good passer is being different than a good playmaker, where I think Tyus Jones is one of the best passers, whereas LaMelo Ball is one of the best playmakers. Kind of on that spectrum, where do you put his point guard play, his passing, his playmaking, his decision making?
It's really impressive reads, but there's a little bit of a gambling man in him.
Okay.
There's a little bit of flash. There's a. Okay. I've never heard you put it that way.
Because you don't listen to me.
You're right. I don't really listen to anyone. I think he might have a little LaMelo.
Okay.
Like he has good vision, but tries to put some sauce on it sometimes. I'm like, no, I don't need the sauce. Just make the damn pass.
Yeah.
And then he all of a sudden has some beautiful, simple reads where I'm just like, there you go. So, and I just think that's high schoolers getting ready and it's everything. So Caden, he kind of play. Oh, you know what? I hate that. I just realized this. Maybe a little campaign in his game.
Okay.
Now, Campaign was the top 20 pick. So, I don't know. It just seems like that's who he reminds me of watching. Now, Campaign also was bigger. So, I don't know. I left there being like, I got to wait and see. But I think there's a little bit of, it's more of a good playmaker than just like an unbelievable passer. I think he has a good way to set people up, get through traffic and throw like great dump offs. But sometimes there's some anticipation stuff there.
There's some manipulation stuff there. He's not necessarily risk averse. So I'm sure some games, there'll be some turnover issues, but some of the highlights will be like, holy crap.
Yeah, and I think he threw like a he tried to throw like a wraparound bullet pass as fast as he could, and I think like Tunde caught it across the lane like it was just like a check down in the NFL. But I think like Akadin was just like, I can get this through, and Tunde was just like run the other way through a dug down. Like, but it was just one of those where like I know what you're thinking, but also risk management.
Yeah,
so I think that'll come with time.
Then finally with Lewis, what, if anything, did you see change in his game from last year to this year? And does any of it make you more excited about what this season could look like for him?
I feel like a little bit more assertive when it came to getting like getting off the bounce, creating like that second level. It's funny, I went back and was reading my notes from last year that he was at the event, and like both times I'm like, oh, dude can just play. And I wrote that this year without looking at my notes, went back to my notes, and I was like, oh, I wrote that again. So I must like how he plays. He's just one though. You're like, every time you watch one of the scrimmages, he makes a couple plays, you're like, whew, that was nice. That was nice. But I guess you're just trying to figure out like, okay, now how is that going to get to the next level? Is he just going to be like this change of pace guard, or do we potentially have some more potential to unlock? So the beautiful thing about scouting is sometimes you don't get all your answers. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you get a little bit of a better feel, but you also have to go see them again. So like if I am able to, which I'm going to try to, it would be someone that I go see again, because I'm like, okay, let's see how he progresses. Let's do our check-ins.
Moving on to one of my personal favorite returners, and I know a lot of fans at No Ceilings as well, Blake Harper transferring to Creighton, in some incredibly encouraging measurements here at 6'8", 210. Really enjoyed a lot of Harper's freshman year. Thoughts?
I've been in love. I think I texted you last year, like... This is my favorite text to send Metcalf every year for everyone listening. It usually starts with a, hey, you're going to think I'm a little crazy, but I need you to watch this guy and tell me if I'm nuts. And I think I was like, and then you're like, okay, what school? Howard. And I feel like it got quiet in our text. And I was like, no, come on, come back. Like, just listen to me. It's like, he goes to Howard. He's a freshman. And then I think I like sent you a screenshot of his numbers to like make you be like, okay, I understand why you're asking me. And I was like, I really like his game. I don't know how I got here. Don't ask. Like, I don't know how I got down this rabbit hole, but I've been like stuck watching him, and I'm really intrigued. I don't know if it's a this year guy. I'm saying maybe this is a transfer guy. So I'm very excited about Blake. Then Steven wrote an awesome piece about Blake in an interview. Like, it was great at NoCeilingsNBA.com. Offseason mode, two plugs already. So secretly I was the most excited that he was on this at this event.
Right.
He's going to Creighton, and I know what you mean by the measurements. Like, I even had to remember, I was like, gosh, I forgot he's got big boy measurements, and
which I don't remember him having last year.
I don't remember it either. That
feels like he put on like 20 pounds.
That's why I'm like, did I think that, and then I maybe that's why I sent to you like, hey, but look at the measurements. And I feel like I'm also like, did he grow a couple inches? I don't know. So anyways, I was so excited to see him at the event. He's big. He is stocky. I think the weight's real. He's a stocky boy. Not bad stocky. Mm-hmm. He, in a weird way, it was like what I wanted to see from him. I think you could go to that event and you can want to see guys absolutely just go like alpha mode scoring, or you could see guys that look like they're clearly trying to work on something or let the game come to him. He was not forcing the issue offensively. There was a couple times I was like, okay, come on. Like, you take over for a bit. Like, you try to go get yours. And he kept trying to set people up. And then all of a sudden, like when he wanted to, he would flip the switch. Okay. And it was a lot of stuff attacking, a lot of stuff like getting downhill, trying to jump on someone, you know, when they're falling asleep defensively. He had a beautiful like attack, half spin, little Dirk fadeaway, like in the lane where I was like, oh, that's all I needed to see offensively. We're good. So I thought the playmaking's good. He clearly looks like he's trying to understand playing with pace, setting people up to like, you know, hey, let me push to stop, to get the defense all over the place, to then create a look for someone. He didn't dominate offensively, but I left there being like, okay, now we're going to have a fun year. Like,
okay.
I thought there was a chance, like, I want to see him not be overwhelmed by like playing against tougher guys now. You know what I'm trying to say? Like, that's, I think, the big thing this year at Creighton is like, whenever you're transferring up, you want to just see like, is things too fast right out of the way, or are they okay? And with Blake,
but then how do you adjust to that after that first month? Like, if it's chaos and a mess, it's like, okay, well, November was tough. How does December look? And are we improving? Because I love that he's transferring up to a bigger program. Because, you know, with some of these guys who are that size and as skilled as he is, you know, it's like the concern of, oh man, is he going to be Maxwell Lewis here? Or are you afraid of him kind of falling into that trap at all? Or are you more encouraged?
More encouraged.
Okay.
He's physical. He's tough. He had a couple moments where he really showed some quickness, like some tight window burst, and looks like a good kid. It's competitive. Like, I was like, all right, I left a bit. He might not have had 20 in one of the games. I'm just throwing numbers out. Like, he might not have taken over scoring wise, but I felt his impact. I felt like there was some good decision making. So I'm still very high on him for next year. I think that's going to be one of the top guys. I want to see, like, I think if Blake hits out of the gate real quick, we're going to be like, he's going to go up fast, because there's just size, feel, and multiple, you know, multi-level scoring ability that he has that you're like, this could get interesting in a hurry.
What type of role do you think he's going to have on Creighton next year? Because I think they're going to be a lot of fun yet again. Shocker. But between returners and transfers and Josh Dix, Jackson McAndrew, Owen Freeman, Blake Harper, I think they're going to be a lot of fun. How do you see Harper fitting into that rotation?
Yeah, I think that's the big question for me out of the gate is, like, I think at Howard, he was just obviously like, oh gosh, we have a monster here. Let's just let him roll. So I want to see how he develops and everything, and like, how, what's his role going to be early on? Like, are they going to give him the ball, a little bit of freedom? Does he have to play off the ball? I think that's a lot of the stuff that I want to see with him moving forward. So I don't know. It's so tough right now because you're just trying to get a feel for these guys. And that's where I'm like, man, I'd want to have him have the ball all the time. And, you know, there's other guys there where I think they're clearly like returners trying to work on stuff with their game, where you're like, okay, I don't want to water down my evaluation right now, because I can clearly tell Ian Jackson was there. I can clearly tell Ian's trying to set the table because they're probably going to ask him to do that next year, not to be like at North Carolina where he was just shooting all the time and they needed offense. So I don't know. It's going to be interesting with Blake. I hope they give him the ball a lot. I hope they also let him showcase some stuff.
Well, you mentioned a couple, but outside of those guys, were there any other college notable college standouts for you?
Not too much, really. I'm trying to go through my notes here. Mackenzie Mbako was fine. What I expected from him, he can really shoot it from outside. Shelton Henderson going to Miami. gave me Semi Ojeleye vibes, but I think there's a little bit more stuff there of just like the physical bruiser that can shoot it a little bit. And then as the games went on, I was like, okay, there might be some more there to live off of. But I think that was the one that I was like, okay, the more I'm watching him, the more I like. So I think that's it. That was it for like the college guys.
Okay. High schoolers, obviously mixed high school and college players. Any of the high schoolers really pop to you where it's like maybe like a Caden Lewis did last year for you, where it's like, ooh, this is a guy that I am really, really excited to see what his senior year looks like.
I'm going to butcher the name. Baba Tunde Oladotun. If everyone's following and has notifications on during the cycle of Twitter, he's the guy who reclassified from 27 to 26. I'll keep it short with the high school because everyone's like, okay, what? I'll just rattle these off. Baba, really, really good. Immediately, I was like, he's stretched out. He's super skinny. Everyone's going to somehow compare him to Durant. I can't wait for it. It's not Durant at all, but he can shoot it from outside. I worry if the frame's going to physically be ready. Really fluid, really good. I understand why he was number one. He beautiful shot from outside, but I'm really worried about the frame. He's got a year, so okay. I think he'll be okay. But
I need him to be good because I desperately need to use the nickname Baba Yaga. Because
he's good. He's really good, and he can shoot it from outside. He's just the classic. He's tall and skinny and can shoot, so they're going to call him Durant. Cam Williams was the one, for me, that stood out the most. He's 6'11", 7th ranked by ESPN for high school ranking. Baba was serving people in a lot of scrimmages, and then Cam Williams played him and went toe-to-toe and was giving him the business. Also, I realized after he's considering Arizona, so I'm really hoping for that, but probably going to be a 7-footer that fills out his frame. He plays nasty. He plays like he's 30 or 40 pounds heavier than he is, which is very exciting for someone that young. Plays tough, and I think there's real tools for him to be a legit one. Bruce Branch, I thought, was another good one. He was 6th ranked prospect, but I am going to give a shout out to 2 sleepers. Jalen Davis, he's 6'2", 160, via 247 Sports, 33rd in the high school rankings for 247. He is so damn good. He had a couple games where I was like, this kid rocks. He is elite quickness. It looks like Sonic the Hedgehog out there, just how quickly he can move. Beautiful shot from outside. If his frame fills out, he's going to be a problem. I ended up finding out that he was, I think, MVP of the high school ranks for the event. So looks like I was right. And then Metcalf, you're going to love this kid.
Okay.
This is my last one. I saved the best for last. Luke Ertl. He's 98th. In the high school rankings by ESPN, he's 6'2", white kid. His bio in the packet for the event was my favorite player, Steve Nash.
Okay.
I've never seen a TJ McConnell clone more in my life. He was like picking up people nonstop. He's picking their pockets. He's like, I swear, he looked like he was going to spit venom. He was so much fun. And then he's throwing like pocket, like screw you bullet passes to guys like on the money. He's hitting step back threes, little lefty, and he's from Indiana. He's already committed to Purdue. So I was like, oh, this is going to be literally another solid point guard for Purdue for 4 years. He's probably going to play 4 years.
Yeah.
But man, he can play.
So they're going to go from Braden Smith to this kid. Awesome.
100%. Literally what I wrote down, I was like, Braden Smith 2.0. Like, he is so much fun, and he can play. Like, I saw it, I was like, man, like, who's this little white kid? Like, on the first day, he might have been one of my favorite guys the whole camp. Like, he was awesome, just so fearless and didn't care, and was like, going toe to toe with everyone. Like he was just like, I don't care. And he'd let you know too. Like he was great. So it was a fun camp. Like people were giving crap on these high school kids for the upcoming year. And I was like, what am I missing? There's some talent here. There's a lot of guys.
There's always talent. You just have to find it. And that's why we go in person. Well, Rugger, it's good to get back on mic. These are always fun. Miss doing it. We'll be back next week. Make sure to go check out Rucker's written piece, noceilingsnba.com. Got a ton of good stuff up on the YouTube channel as well. I'll be having more film school, preseason scouting reports, some breakout candidate stuff, both on the written work on the site, on the YouTube channel. Go check out Locked On NBA Draft with No Ceilings feed. We'll be coming to you 3 times a week, shorter episodes over there up until September. Then we go every day. So got the teams working throughout the summer. A lot of really fun, awesome stuff. Both currently up on the sites and coming up. But he is Tyler Rucker. You can follow him at Tyler_Rucker. I'm Tyler Metcalf. You can follow me at Team Metcalf 11. If you enjoyed this episode, please make sure rate, review, subscribe, all that good stuff. Till next time. See ya.